now in this pulpit. I pray, O Heavenly Father, and submit to you that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that it be acceptable in thy sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray you have your Bibles. I want you to open your Bibles and keep them handy, because I'm going to be referring to you different things from your Bible. I said Ephesians, so turn to that book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And in respect for the word, I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, English Standard Version. Say amen when you have that.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. This is what God says through Paul. And because God has said it, it's true. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patient bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to you, to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Yes.
This is what God says. We ask him to bless the reading, the hearing, and doing of his holy word.
Yes.
Before I get started, I want to pay respects. You see, first of all, I want to pay respects to my mother, and that's healthy. That's healthy. So my mother's here. She's right there. And so that's Mama. And thank the Lord for her. And the other person that makes me who I am, that puts up with this old Chicago boy for 43 years, that really know how it is. You know, see, I have to be nice to my wife, because, see, I go to bed before she does. I warn you, husband, be nice to your wife. See, John, you started something. You asked your wife how you doing in public. Leonard said he wouldn't ask his wife how he's doing in public. I don't even want my wife to be thinking about it, because she might be saying, 10 o'clock, he's going to bed. I got my list. See, that's bad when you wake up and you're hurting and she's snoring with a smile on her face. Now, I want y'all to think, Jordan ain't like that. But be careful with quiet people. She's quiet. Unity in the local church is my subject. Now, that's easy to say, but not quite so easy to apply and to live by. Saints coming together in worship and work in Jesus' name in Ephesus, where this letter was written. We're attempting to do that in New Hope. I know you're attempting to do that here at Trinity, but that applies anywhere else. We, you and I, worship God in spirit and in truth. In other words, we come to the Father by way of the Son in Christ Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. We sing songs in the same name of Jesus. And when we preach, our preaching should also be Christ-centered preaching. We worship the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the worship part, but we also work. Work consists, first of all, of recognizing that we are indeed his workmanship, not our own. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works which God prepared before our time. He says in scripture beforehand that we should walk, behave, and do our actions in them. This work includes equipping the saints for the work of ministry, the work of service. Allow me to say early that you as a saint must be equipped for the work you are assigned to, and the work includes, but not all of it, pastoring, preaching, teaching, ushering, doing jobs and ministries in the church house. And too many times in the church, we think that the church work stops there. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't. Work also includes your everyday tasks, the job you have, your way of life. Work also includes being an employee. Your work includes being a parent. Why? Because scripture tells you how you should rear your children. Tells us how to be a husband. Tells us how to be a wife. Tells us how to be single people. A big brother or a little sister. Being a student or just plain working in the ministry. So work is more. It doesn't stop when we leave here. In most cases, it starts up when you leave here. Work also includes the building up the body of Christ. That is making disciples and growing in grace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What is the purpose of all of this? Well, listen closely. The church actually transforms the world. Do you know that?
Amen.
The church transforms the world, and sometimes we lose track of that. We don't realize that, but here's what we do. We bring in converts, we make disciples, lovers of Jesus, or we establish enemies of the Lord. One or the other. You see, some will hear the gospel, the word of truth, and be saved. Others will hear or not hear the gospel or the word of truth, rebel, and be condemned. That's the dichotomy that we live with. Matthew records what Jesus said about how we affect the world. And Matthew, in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trample under people's feet." Salt, my brothers and sisters, can be an antiseptic. Salt can be a disinfectant. Salt can be a fertilizer. Salt can be a seasoning. But it transforms whatever it comes in contact with. Jesus goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Light has the ability to dispel darkness, ignorance. It illuminates and shows what is hidden. Again, just like salt, light brings about a transformation. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you know this, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority, all exousia in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." And notice he says this, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." That's where that work thing comes in. A young man learns how to love his wife by watching an old Christian man love his. A wife learns how to be submissive according to the word to her husband by watching the mothers of the church being submissive to their husband. Younger children learn how to obey by having older children come back and say, "Let me tell you what's going to happen if you disobey."
teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. Listen to how Brother Luke says it. This is what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, you will receive power. You, Trinity. You ain't got to seek it. You got power. You sit here as powerful people. Says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then he says here, it's not optional. He says, you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, where you are. In Judea, the neighborhood around where you are. In Samaria, I like to call that some area with no name. And to the ends of the earth, you're going to be a witness. There's a song, you shall be a witness. And I'm not singing. From chapter 4 to the end of Ephesians, if you read this letter, Paul starts something. In the first part of Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, Paul teaches doctrine. And then when you get to chapter 4, he said, now that you have the doctrine, I'm going to talk about the application. So from chapter 4 to the end of this letter, Paul is explaining how all of this come about, how the church fulfills its mission, how we in our local church fulfill that mission. And all of this must be completed with unity. Do you hear me? Unity. Unit. One. Unity in the local church. My brothers and my sisters, you are a local church. Thus, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, are told, you are commanded, you are commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations and to teach them to observe all that has been commanded to you. And you also are witnesses of Jesus Christ. You're his witnesses. You're the Bible people get to read. Now, what are they reading? What are they reading? Because sometimes people will observe you at what we call our worst moments. That's when we draw people to ourselves. Okay, the job just told you we don't need you anymore. You know the Lord, but how are you walking out of that office? You get to the grocery store and find out all these prices are high. You got $1 and your appetite says 10. As you're walking down the aisle, how are you behaving right now? Because folks watching you. You sick and can't get well. Aspirin don't work. Naproxen don't work. Any other painkiller don't work. Now you're in the hospital. The nurse has said, we done did all that we can do. What do you do now? How do you behave now? Because people are reading you. Jesus is real in your life. So that could be your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You are transformers of this world that we all live in. And just like at New Hope, you may say, we are small. That's just a few of us. We're not a mega church. We don't meet in a stadium. And that would be a true statement. It would be foolish for me to say, think big and think large. However, I will say this to you. This is what Jesus said concerning size in Matthew 18, 20. He said, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Can I get two or three? Look at this. That's more than two or three. We can change the world. Why? Because Jesus is with us. He is the one with all authority. He is the one
talking about Jesus, is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He is the one who had all things under his feet and is the head of over all things, especially the church. Talking about Jesus, which is the body. You and I as church members make up the body of Christ. Isn't that amazing? That you and I would make up the body of Christ. Hearing all of this, realizing all of this, Paul says to us, I urge you, with that background, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That's the topic sentence that as you read through Ephesians, you're going to hear that topic sentence come up over and over again. But in verse 2, he says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. I ain't even got the greater love yet. But bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Do not forget the context of all of this and who Paul is addressing this letter to. We think we got it bad. Imagine a church made up of old Jews and old Gentiles. Them folks didn't like one another. I mean, to the point of killing anger. Jews had a sign. You know how we came in church here? We walk in, you get greeted by the usher. The Jews had a sign in the temple. This is for the Gentiles that converted to Judaism. You do not pass this point under the grounds of death. You get killed in the church by being in the wrong place. Gentiles hated Jews. They thought they were all of that in a bowl of grits, and they said, we're going to prove it to you, you're not. And guess what? God saved them both and put them together in a church called Ephesus. Can you see it now? On this side, I want the Jews. And on this side, I want the Gentiles. And we're going to have a Jewish usher and a Gentile usher, and they're going to walk down the middle. But that's not the way it happened. Paul said that you're one. Hostility is gone. So Paul is addressing this letter of unity to Jews and Gentiles coming together as one people, saints in the Lord. You know, we don't like, this is not politically correct to say this, but I want you to understand, we're no longer black people. We're no longer white people. Or should I say a white person. But it's good we laugh. We're saints in the Lord. See? And when I have to put a prefix in front of saint, something's wrong. I'm a black saint. I'm a Chinese saint. No, you're a saint. When we all get to heaven. Uh-oh. The tendency is for there to be pride, talking about the church, arrogance, roughness, impatience, low tolerance. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen, lights. Paul says your walk should be with all humility, which is lowliness, placing others first and myself last. Your walk should be gentleness, meekness against a willingness to consider others and waver one's own rights. It should be patient, bearing provocations, annoyance, misfortunes, or even pain without complaint, loss of temper, or irritation. That's what patience is. Bearing with one another in love, that is forbearing, to put up with or to refrain from, abstaining from. You know, when we get mad at one another, you know what we do, don't you? I stay home. I ain't got to be around them folks. But see, when we forbear, we have to have forbearance. Before moving on, hear all of this together. Therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager, excited to maintain the unity of the flesh, or unity of the spirit, in the bonds of peace. The urge, the exhortation is to walk, to live, to behave in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Hear these clarifying words of Scripture. Why do I say that? Well, listen to these clarifying words of Scripture. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Brethren, your calling is to be conformed and transformed to the very image of his Son, Jesus Christ. We should each day be in looking more, begin to look more and more like Jesus. A manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called is to become more and more like him. When? Not here. Oh, yes, here too. But see, where's the big test? It's when you leave here. See, it's when you get out there on Highway 70 and you're on your way home and somebody cuts you off. In our everyday walk, our everyday talk, and the state of being, of striving for that greater love. You're striving for that greater love. He is the example of humility, gentleness, patience, and love, forbearance. Listen to the next passage, similar to the one you heard out of John 13. He says, a new commandment I give to you. You've already heard it. That you love one another. But notice the condition. As I have loved you.
You know what that means? That means I got to learn Christ. I got to learn him. But you know what it also means? It means I have to have a self-awareness of how he loved me. You see, I know me. I know some thoughts I've had that y'all don't know I've had. I know some things I have done that I care not to mention in church. And he died for, he loved me. So he says a new commandment. Not that love ain't been out there all along, but Jesus says, I'm setting the bar higher. The new commandment is that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's our evangelism. When I'm able to show that love toward a believer, it doesn't matter ethnicity, color, skin, or whatever. When I can show that love, that is my witness of who I am. How important is this? Well, it's repeated again in chapter 15, where you find your theme, chapter 15, 12 through 14. This is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down, and that someone is Jesus. So I want to be clear on that. Ain't just someone, that's Jesus. Lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. If you do what I command you. This is amazing because if you proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, he's the Lord of your life and he's the Savior of you from your life. You realize just how much Jesus loved you. He came here in humility and died for you. That's how he's telling us to love. Later on in Ephesians, he's going to tell a husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And we like to leave that as global. But I said, are you the church? Well, yeah, I'm the church. Well, how much does Christ love you? When you get through analyzing that, that's how you're supposed to love your wife. And gave his life for the church. Now, don't let me have to ask your wife. Sister, will your husband die for you? Amen. So he came in humility and he died for you. He has been gentle. He's been gentle, mind you, with his dealings with you. Do I need to remind you that he has been patient with you all of these years, and he has still treated you with gentleness, and oh, how he loved you. 1 John 4:7-11 said, "Behold, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and know God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation." He's the one that stood up and said, "I'll take the stripes, I'll take the beating for their sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That love of Jesus for you, that attitude of Jesus towards you, is our example of how we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Since we have peace with God, we must have peace with each other. Because Christ is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, whatever that dividing wall is. Brethren, we use this phrase often, press on. Here's a new one. Pulling together is the secret to your power, and that is unity in the local church. I repeat a statement that I started this sermon with: easy to say, but not quite so easy to apply and to live by. Paul points out truths that are difficult for the Ephesians and remain difficult for today's local church. And we look outside at the world of different people as saints, believers, Christians. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are the same. Amen. Let me say it again. We are the same. Now, you may look at me funny for saying it, especially if you look around at each other and say, "I know I ain't like him." Well, let's allow the passage to speak to our hearts. I just said we are the same. First, we are the same because we share the same identity. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you was called to the one hope that belonged to your call. Just like you as an individual is made up of body and spirit, Paul reminds the people of Ephesus that despite its many different members, they are one body dwelt by one Spirit. Amen. I did an illustration of this at New Hope. I shared it with you. Even in Chicago, when I was young, we used to walk on the train tracks. If you come up in the country, you know what I'm talking about. You walked on the train track. Now imagine the body having a meeting, like the church have a meeting, and they go by a democratic process, and you don't see a train, you don't hear a train. Back in my days, you could smell a train, but your feet feel it. Amen. Body has a vote. Feet is outvoted, body don't move, and is destroyed.
every member in the body has a purpose and needs to be listened to. It doesn't matter if it's a new part of the body or it's a part of the body that's been there a long time. You are members of the body. Look at Ephesians 2:22. It says, in him you also are being built together. So not only are you together, you're being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Not only does his Spirit reside in you individually, his Spirit resides in us collectively. Do you realize that? So just as our bodies and spirits together, although different, have the same hope of being redeemed by the work of our Savior, and so the church in both its physical and spiritual dimensions is called to the same hope of the redemption in Christ. This fellowship that's called Trinity Community Church is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belonged to your call. You cannot separate yourselves from each other just because you want to. Nor can we separate from you just because we may want to. Second, we are all the same because we share the same testimony. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, same testimony. These are terms that characterize the testimony of all who are truly Christ's true Christians. I still feel that I know you well enough to say that we, our fellowships, believe and we testify, Trinity as well as New Hope, that Jesus is Lord. Amen? And no one else. He's Lord and no one else. We believe and we testify that faith in his work on our behalf is our only means of salvation in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Amen? By our baptism, we believe and we testify outwardly that we are cleansed of sin and we are united to him by his amazing grace alone inwardly. Now, that does not mean we're perfect, but we have been cleansed from sin. These are essentials of our faith, and this is what we hold to within our fellowships and within our local church. And we should always honor brothers and sisters of other churches. Oh, amen. Other fellowships, amen. And even denominations who hold to these truths also. There may be differences, but they are not vital to the faith or essential teachings of what we believe. On the other hand, because you say you have the same testimony, this also is true out of love. Matthew 18:15-18, and we don't like this part of the scripture. But because we are who we say we are, my brothers and my sisters, we got to learn to hold one another accountable. Out of love. Greater love. If your brother sins against you, you don't call up your girlfriend and say, child, do you know what this man did to me? That's not what it says. Not in my Bible. It says, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, then stop. It's not what it says. Take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. That's how serious it is. But you're doing this out of what? Not to reduce membership, but to increase your membership. You're doing it out of love. Truly I said to you, it says, if he refused to hear the church, then treat him like a Gentile. That means you treat him like a non-believer. So what do you do now? Instead of talking about discipling, I talk about Jesus. I tell you about how he died for you. So I don't give up. Even in love, it's just that the love language switches from you know better than that to you need to be saved so you know better than that. Oh, amen. Your walk should match your testimony. And if someone should be asking you, if it doesn't, someone should be asking you why it isn't matching your testimony, or real simply, what's up with that? If what you said don't match up with how you behave, someone should be in your face saying, what's up with that? This ain't how we learn. This ain't what Pastor taught us. We shouldn't be acting like this. Third, we are the same because we share the same family. Uh-oh. Are you aware of that? We are the same because we share the same family. Verse 6, one God and Father. Of who? Of all. All includes everybody who's saved. So all is 100%. Ones you like, ones you don't like. So we're all of the same family who is over all, through all, and in all. Paul reminds us that despite our differences, different background, ethnicity, differences, social differences, other matters that the world may say separate us, we are all the same. Look back at Ephesians 2, 18 through 19. You don't have to look there. I'll read it for you. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. If somebody look in that room, I got a towel back there. If we can get it out of my bag. Oh, okay. We got tissue. Tissue. Now, don't y'all let anybody know I've been using some tissue. I don't normally use tissue. I have a towel. Tissue. It's still up there. Somebody get my, is it gone? Okay. In that black bag on that desk is a bag got some towels in there. There you go. I need a towel. Cause see, I sweat. I bought a change of shirt cause I sweat. Thank you.
Down and messed up the mic.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all heard what he said? Did y'all hear what he said? I just want to know if y'all heard what he said. He said, take my time. Long as I'm at the funeral tomorrow by 11. Because we have the same Father and the love and affection from the same Father, that makes us brothers and sisters. Amen. Some of you may just be meeting me, but Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If you tell me he's your Lord and Savior, I'm your brother. And you my brother or my sister. Now that exists for the universal church. And we say amen to that. But even more it applies to the local church also. Trinity, because we hold to one body and one spirit, call to the one hope that belongs to our call. We confess one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we acknowledge one God and Father of all. You are indeed my brothers and my sisters. We are family. And I'm not singing it. Now, see, the old people know that. Young people, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We are family. You know, the older folks know what I'm talking about. We are family to each other, period, and amen.
You therefore should be able to speak to each other. How? As family. Watch out for each other. How? As family. Love and care for each other. How? As family. The application of this is not difficult. Unity within the local church should be like your biological families. Now, I'm saying that, assuming that our biological families are good. I don't want anybody walking around here mad. You're saying the church be like my family. You don't know my family. Them crooks still owe me money. But I'm not talking about good family now. I'm talking about that Leave with the Beaver type family, okay? You know, where everybody is sitting around the table and they sing Kumbaya and all of that. I'm talking about good family. But we know what I mean by biological families. Because even if you got a messed up family, you may not agree on everything. Oh, amen. You may not like everything. Again, amen. But you share that last name and you love your family. Can I get an amen? In the local church, you may not agree on everything. Amen. You may not like everything. Amen. But you share the same Holy Spirit who dwells within you. The one Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins just like he did yours. Amen. And you have the same hope, the same glad morning that you sing about. When this life is over, you're going to fly away to your home in glory, and there's no segregation in heaven. Do you hear me? The one Father values them just like he values you. He listens to their prayers. Hear me now. Just like he listens to your prayers. Unity in a local church requires me to say to all those in Christ Jesus, you are my brother, you are my sister, we have the same Father. Come, let us love one another beyond our differences and dislikes. Greater love, if you will, for we have the same identity. We are all the same, every one of us. Amen. So in closing, I just go right back to my topic sentence. You say you are a Christian. You said Jesus is your Lord and Savior. We can sing about it. We got young people. We have older people. So therefore, brothers and sisters, as you step forth until you're going into year 5, Trinity Community Church, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful for giving us the opportunity to preach your word one more time. Amazing, Lord, as I walked down the aisle, you know I was tired. But as I said this morning to the fellowship, I say again, I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.